Friday to you all. Hello, David. Good to see you. It's Frank Fontana, Dave Miranda filling in for Bill and Wendy.
Yes, we got a hell of a show today, especially because it's Black Friday, and normally we need to work out all the food, but today we're going to blabber it out.
Blabber it out. Can we burn calories blabbering? Is it possible?
I'm sure you can. I know chewing gum. Chewing gum, you could
You got a whole pack on you? I need to burn some calories, man. I overdid it last night, voluntarily.
Yeah, did you eat a lot of turkey? Did you eat a lot of desserts?
Believe it or not, I bailed on the turkey. Not that it was any, you know, it wasn't bad or anything. It just, there were so many good sides. We had like, you know, because we're Italian, so it's a half Italian thing and a half American thing. And with their, the sides were like eggplant with vodka sauce. And then you had like sausage and rice and all the Italian dishes. And then you had the turkey, and the turkey was just blah. You know, and now so it's like I filled up all these sides, and then I killed myself in dessert, literally.
With us, it was Mexico and United States. Yeah, we had the turkey, all the sides,
do you
and
guys
tamales.
Do like? Yeah, tamales, right?
Tamales.
Is that the only nod to your culture?
Tamales, mole, which are things that we make on special occasions. The tamales are normally for Christmas, but I mean, if you can't eat on Thanksgiving, we basically make everything and anything. Even we even had some bought pastries and stuff. So
you guys bought pastries?
Yeah, we like the pumpkin pies, the apple pies. My niece made an Oreo cookie pie, and everybody did a little bit of something.
That's nice. Yeah.
I'm sure everybody out there did the same thing. It's like a potluck sort of deal with the family. Yeah. Everybody brings their own dish or their own dessert.
Yeah.
And they call it a party.
That's what they do. That's why it's called Thanksgiving, right? I guess. Yeah. Do you know the true meaning of Thanksgiving, Dave? I wonder. Do you?
Well, from the pilgrim days? From the,
the origin.
Yeah, from the pilgrim days. I remember in grade school, every time I would decide to forget about it. Yeah. And now it's voluntarily again that I decide to forget. But yeah, it's about basically it's when the Americans fed the immigrants.
You know, I'm putting
immigrants.
Dave on the spot right now.
No, I'm
throwing him back to elementary school.
It comes
right
down
now
to when the Americans basically fed the immigrants. So that's what it was. Thanksgiving.
Yes. Being grateful for what you have and all that.
Right, Andy?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, Andy's hanging out with us. What's up, Andy?
You know, you guys talk about potluck and bring your own dish. That's why I bring beer.
Oh,
yeah. Boom!
My type of friend.
I'm not a cook. I'm not a chef. I don't pretend to be.
Uh huh.
If it doesn't come in a can or a box, I probably can't cook it. So,
but you can buy it.
I bring what I know. And that's beer.
That's good for you, man. That's a good tip right there. The show's gonna be full of great tips, by the way, for the holidays. And I think one that's gonna really resonate with folks is who might you be uninviting this year based on their, I don't know, political views, their weird odor that they emit. I don't know.
Maybe after a few drinks they get very annoying.
Pokey. They get a little pokey.
A little pokey, very annoying, very loud.
A little touchy.
Yeah, especially at a family get-together, you could be very annoying.
Do you think that we live in this world today where it's okay to do that? I mean, do you feel like it's, I mean, because it's such a politically correct climate out there?
I think nowadays we need our personal space. Everybody needs your personal space.
Yeah. But that goes against the whole idea of the holidays and Thanksgiving. We're supposed to bring people together, not uninvite people or unlike people on social media, things like that.
Yeah, and we will also have those tools in your kitchen that you must have. I wonder if these our people listening right now have these special tools we're going to talk about today, because they will make your life easier and you can probably cook faster.
And probably get some gift ideas in the way, you know, just by talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of giving people functional gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like gifts that do nothing. Like, you know, I don't know. But I like a gift. Like, give me a little ninja. A little ninja or a bullet. I'd be happy.
A bullet? Oh, for the...
I know, that could sound really weird.
Yeah.
But these are actual kitchen stuff.
The chopper guys.
The chopper guys, right? Yeah. I don't want
for
a real ninja.
For the protein shakes and stuff.
Yeah. I don't need a little ninja hanging out in my closet.
Something original.
A blender. Right?
And something to put you to work, and something that you'll probably remember the person with as well, forever and ever. You know, there's also always that special gift that you remember that auntie or uncle gave you that, oh, wow, I really like this.
Yeah, so we'll have a slew of that coming up on the show. Bill and Wendy, unfortunately, are not here today. They were trampled at Walmart, and we're getting news as to where their remains are at this point. We'll update you as the show goes on. They'd like to shop together when they're not on the radio is what I hear.
They love it. They love it. And
especially
we will also be,
Friday.
Speaking of shopping, we're going to be discussing Black Friday versus Cyber Monday. We're going to have an expert on that as well.
Good. We got a well-rounded show today, and that and a lot more. We have some really fun topics and some information on this Thanksgiving and what it does to your body and how many calories Americans consume. I don't even know if I want to talk about it.
Back to reality.
Back to reality.
On WGN Radio.
Take a deep breath. We're going to get the show started right after this. Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. It's Frank Fontana and Dave Miranda sitting in. You usually hear us on Sundays at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for the Frank Fontana Show. But today, we've been asked to come in and sit as Bill and Wendy take a breather. And
it's the Bill and Wendy Show with a lot more testosterone.
It is.
That's what it is.
But we'll balance it out with feminine elements of the show. Correct?
Like the kitchen.
Like the kitchen. And that's where we're going to start this show. But before we do, I just got to mention this. How many calories do you think you consumed yesterday?
My goodness. I don't even want to think about it because I'll be traumatized the whole holiday season. Maybe like 4,000? I don't know.
Andy, what do you guess?
It's probably about 2,500 to 3,000.
Yeah. What are you eating? Like
I ate the plate, too.
You eat the plate, too. That's nothing.
Yeah.
On average, believe it or not, the average American consumed at least a minimum of 3,000. Mm. But if you factor in drinks, dessert, appetizers, could bring that total calorie count to 4,000 to 5,000 calories in one meal.
You know, some people, they want to eat salads because they're on a diet, but then it's like a soup in their salad with their dressing. So it defeats the purpose of eating a salad because the dressing has all the calories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, it's one day out of a year.
Yeah.
You get to just do it.
I think you were eating off the bullet, Andy Mazur.
Yeah, I might have
Maybe
been.
That's why it's 2,000 calories. Yeah.
And by the way, are we sitting in for Bill Wendy right now? We're still for Steve Cochran,
You're
right?
Still in for Steve Cochran this hour.
Yeah, let me change that then. Hey, we're sitting in for Steve Cochran and Steve Cochran Show until 10 o'clock, and then Bill and Wendy.
Basically, we're invading space today. That's what we're going to call it.
You know, today is one of those days where WGN just wiped a slate and said, hey, we're just sticking people in.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, and look, we're going to talk about topics that hopefully people are interested in. And we got the text line going on at 312-981-7200. Or you can call in and chime in whenever you would like at 312-981-7200.
Oh, and we're going to have some juicy topics coming up, too. So let's talk about this. Versatile kitchen tools. Dave, what's your take on a vegetable peeler that shaves cheese?
I love cheese. I love red wine. So maybe a little bit healthier for the next year. So that's probably something I would get.
So the idea is using something that you have laying around your house as a option for another tool. So you don't have to buy it. So here's a regifting idea. Go in your cabinet, cabinet in your drawer and get a carrot peeler, polish it up, put a bow on it and say, hey, it's a cheese peeler. Boom. There you go. Save money. And you recycle at the same time.
It's a great marketing tool, too. If people sell peelers out there, they're going to be like, maybe we could just say this is a pear peel.
Exactly.
Apple peel.
Spray paint the handle orange and say it's a cheese peeler.
Yeah.
Done. Now, grapefruit spoons remove pulp, but you could do this. You can use a jagged spoon to scoop melons and winter squash, too. I mean, who really has a dedicated grapefruit spoon?
Those are hard to eat with, too, by the way.
I agree. Do you have one?
I do not, because I basically peel the grapefruit and I only basically eat the juicy stuff. I don't eat any of the white, yellowish stuff at all, because it's very sour.
Yeah. I like the next one, though. Ice cream scoops measure cookie dough, because my wife likes to eat cookie dough. I like to...
cookie dough?
Yeah. I ration it, though, because she can get sick. You know they make the cookie dough now that doesn't get you sick? Like, you can get it in the jar. It's like a fake cookie dough, but it tastes just like it.
You know, some people like to eat what they make their tortillas out of, the dough what for the tortillas as well, and eating it raw, and it can get you sick as well. Hey, but you know what? Especially, you were talking to me before we went on the air about the ice cream study that it activates your brain. So, hey, that's a good idea for those of you that want to eat ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, did you believe that, though? I don't necessarily believe that.
I think it's because of all the sugar. Maybe because the cold gets you activated. Maybe you can share
one of those,
a little bit more.
Yeah, one of these studies that we have here sitting in front of us, it states that a Japanese scientist studied the effects of ice cream first thing in the morning, just like you'd have your cup of coffee, right, Andy? But instead, they hooked these people up to these, like, modules and wires and all that stuff and said, hey, we're going to see what it does to you. Well, apparently, it stimulates the brain just like caffeine would and gets you alert and energetic. And then they did the same test because they thought, maybe it's just a cold thing. Maybe it's the cold ice cream that shocks the system and wakes you up. Well, they tried it with cold water, and apparently the results weren't the same. There was a minimal effect, but not as much as ice cream. I'm not advocating the use of ice cream instead of coffee, because I think there's something wrong with that. But if there's some more science on this, they could be on something. The new breakfast food could be
your
favorite ice cream.
Now, something cold, because compared in the study that you're mentioning, compared to others that did not eat the ice cream, they had faster reactions of people that did eat these ice cream and faster reaction times and better information processing capabilities as well.
So I should be really smart, because in the summer, every once in a while, if I have a carton of vanilla ice cream in my freezer, I'll make my coffee, and I like cream and sugar in my coffee. I'll put a scoop of vanilla ice cream in my coffee just to act as the cream. You know, it melts, but it still, you know, gives you that.
You're just ahead of science, man.
So I think that I am the exception to this rule of the study, because I'm obviously not that smart.
Maybe cold water as well. Maybe cold water can do the drill as well, because it can also increase alertness and mental capacity if you drink cold water, according to the study that we're seeing from Professor Kogas. It's this new discovery that took place that was actually exposed this week.
So, I mean, I think it needs a little more research before we could stamp it.
Yeah.
I'd put this one under the fact or fiction file, like with a question mark.
Although it is recommended that you drink cold water or water in the morning, because you get dehydrated during sleep as well, because all that breathing, especially when the heater is on.
Well, you know, in Ayurvedic medicine, they actually promote the opposite. They talk about warm water with a little bit of lemon stimulates the system better than cold water. They say cold water in the morning potentially shocks the system to a point, if you have heart conditions, could be a bad thing. So who the heck knows? Every week there's a different study that goes up and down.
Yeah, and you know, cold water, you know, when you want to lose weight, that's also recommended that you drink cold water.
Hmm.
When you're, and those calorie counts, especially right now that with all the holiday eating, the cold water. We need a nutritionist in the show, maybe for Sunday.
We should. And then we have Dr. Ogner coming in.
Oh, that's right.
We'll talk about these topics. Real quick, I'll go through a couple of these. The turkey baster shaped pancakes. What does that mean? Dave, don't wait for Thanksgiving to break out your turkey baster.
Or the waffle maker.
Apparently, the turkey baster could fill the baster with pancake batter and squeeze out custom shapes, which is a big trend right now. You're seeing these like custom faces, like the Donald Trump pancake I saw the other day. I think that's a good idea.
Or words, maybe like "Happy birthday," or "Will you marry me," or something.
Will you marry me?
Or you just never know. You could come up
and
with
pancake
a turkey
batter
and pancake batter.
Like,
oh boy,
that's unique. I don't know if I'd do that. It's unique.
Get her fat and then be like, can you marry me?
Right. It usually happens after you get married, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Just get it
straight. That's after marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm working backwards.
Exactly. All right, cool. We'll continue these throughout the show. We'll kind of drop them in as little nuggets of wisdom, because they're so brilliant. But when we come back, we're going to be talking with our guest, who's got the skinny on Cyber Monday and Black Friday. It's the CEO and founder of BeFrugal.com, John Lay. Lael will speak about the 2 days and how it affects your spending right now. All right, so don't go anywhere.
It is the front page that took...
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana, sitting in for Steve Cochran. Joining me to my right is producer extraordinaire and on-air talent now, Dave Miranda.
Yep, here I am. We're talking about the best things and the hot topics for the day, because this next guest we have, Frank, I'm glad Shantae was able to get this guest, because, you know, everybody wonders about how am I going to get the best for my dollar? You know, how am I going to expand that dollar?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, our next guest has the information that we're looking for. Joining us on the phone from BeFrugal.com, John Lale. Hey, John, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me. And, yes, we are all about expanding that dollar.
So how do we do it, John? I mean, this is Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that stuff. First of all, I got to go back here, John. Maybe you don't know this, or maybe you don't. When did this all begin? Like the Black Friday thing, the Cyber Monday, who started this trend?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that goes, I think, to the beginning of retail, really, with Christmas shopping. And, you know, a month ahead gets you a Thanksgiving. And that's, you know, where a lot of the momentum comes from.
Yeah, for way back in the day, because it went from red numbers to black numbers. So that's how it became Black Friday.
Interesting. Yeah. And you know, obviously retail driven. So you got marketing geniuses behind all the retail organizations that come up with these ideas for landmark shopping events. And now we're here and we're part of the system, and people are at stores right now as we speak, which I got to tell you, I'm looking around right now, John, and I'm not seeing much action on Michigan right now. As I look out the window, I'm shocked. I don't know if people are afraid of the protest that's going to be coming down the road shortly, but I thought I'd see much more madness and craziness. Is that a trend? Are we seeing less in the big boxes and in the brick and mortars?
You know, today definitely is more about brick and mortar versus, you know, Monday tends to be more about online. And overall, there is a trend. You know, we've seen quite a bit of shopping move to online from brick and mortar. But I think the economy is strong and people are shopping. Perhaps not quite as much in-store as online.
You know, web people are more intelligent as well, aside from different apps and your website, befrugal.com, which is a cashback and coupon website. So how does this work? Basically, people get deals and they get money back, or how does this work, John?
So we have partnerships with more than 4,000 U.S. retailers, all the names you would have heard of, you know, Walmart, Sears, Amazon, Target, Best Buy, et cetera. And so we have both coupons and cash back for these retailers. You would go to our site, create a free account with your email address, use a coupon, and our average coupon will save you $27 upfront when you make that purchase. And because you've gone through our site, you'll also get a cash back reward after the purchase, and that on average tends to be 7%. And in most cases, you can double up, meaning you'll get both the $27 savings from a coupon up front and 7% back. It's a great deal for consumers.
It's a great business model, too. I'm just curious, you know, befrugal.com. How long did it take you to get the business up and running? I mean, because you got to strike these deals with these big companies and pitch this to them, correct?
Yeah. We've been in business since 2009, so 7 years now. You know, we've done a great job with retailers. And that's helped us get better deals from them. That, you know, it's like a virtuous cycle. The deals that we get from retailers help us get more consumers to shop through us, which in turn helps us get better deals to retailers.
And so in these 7 years, what's the growth been in the company? Are you guys doing really well?
Yeah. I think just last year to this year, for example, we're going to be about 50% bigger in sales.
That's fantastic, man. It's offering great deals. I mean, you'd think, how do you do it? I mean, because it's Black Friday already. They're already discounted product, right? On top of that, you're getting the coupon savings plus a cash back deal. That's really cool. I mean,
it's a win-win situation. Are there certain products or certain items that you must buy on Black Friday versus Cyber Monday?
Yes. You know, Black Friday tends to be a little bit more about brick and mortar, and that means that it's a great day for electronics, major appliances, things that you're going to more likely buy in store. You know, people are less likely to buy a refrigerator online, for example, or a washer dryer online. So it's great for major appliances, great for electronics. And then also Black Friday is fantastic for doorbuster type items. You know, the one hot item that's going to get you in the store, they might have a limited quantity of, that sort of thing. TVs are a great draw at big box stores today as well.
Yeah, I always see that you know, the mad rushes are typically at the electronic stores. And in your opinion, I always thought there's got to be some kind of like mathematical magic to this. You know, like these stores got to have, you know, there's the price of the product, and there's the markup, and then there's that margin in between that they're allowed to play with to get you these amazing deals. Because these companies can't be losing money on this, right? I mean, they got to have some kind of formula that works. So do they drive prices up and then down on Black Friday and Cyber Monday?
Well, I wouldn't say it's quite that calculated. It is more, you know, competition between the retailers because, you know, every retailer wants your shopping dollar to go to them versus going to another retailer. And so a lot of what's happening on Black Friday is that dynamic, and that's the same thing that causes our shopping to move earlier and earlier in the year because every retailer wants to preempt the other retailer. I mean, it's a win for a consumer.
And you know what? There's a certain sale that sometimes drives you into the store. Like, let's just say you buy a washer. Let's just say there's a sale. You buy the washer and the dryer is free. But there's other items that are not necessarily in reduction or on sale
that you might pick up just walking through.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm already here. I already went through the hassle of waking up at 5 in the morning, or maybe I was camping out on the store for this washer. Okay, I'll just take this.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely true. Do you get that online a lot? Do you get the point of purchase sale online as much as you would in the store?
That's a very good point. That tends to happen more in store. Now, online, the point of purchase stuff is driven more by the software logic. You know, it might, for example, know that you're buying a toy that requires AAA batteries, and it will recommend that you add that to your purchase right at the time. The online, the point of purchase stuff is driven by recommendations. They're a lot more sophisticated versus when you're in store. You're more tempted by things that may or may not be relevant. It's just whatever your eye sees.
That's a good point. Now, on BeFrugal.com, I mean, you have the deals with the big, you know, the big stores, Walmart, the Amazon, the Target. How is it different from going directly to Amazon, let's say, where you could kind of most times find the best deals because that's where people go? How are your deals better, and what is the true value of using BeFrugal versus going directly to one of these stores?
Two big things. One, you know, we publish all the coupons and big sales on BeFrugal. So if you're going through BeFrugal, we'll bring to your attention where all the big sales, where all the big coupons are. So you're going to find them right away.
Right.
Kind of have a hunt and peck or search for them some other way. And the other big thing is we offer cash back. You're not going to get that if you go to the store directly. So,
yeah.
As I said, that's an average of 7%. And, you know, it's significant. For example, at Walmart, we're offering 8.5% today. At Macy's, 10% today. So these are big numbers, and that's on top of what you would have saved with a coupon.
And that's on top of the already low Black Friday pricing?
Exactly, yes.
Well, that's huge, folks. You got to get on that website right now, BeFrugal.com. It sounds like you'll be saving all sorts of cash. John, are you going to hang out with us for a little bit? Then we're going to talk about some of the hottest gifts for kids and adults for 2016, and maybe you can chime in on where they could find it on your site, as well as get some more information about that.
Okay, excellent.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. We're talking to John Lale, CEO of BeFrugal.com. It sounds like a really great resource. If you haven't been there, check it out and hang with us. We'll be here till what, noon, Dave?
And until noon, and I'm very curious about Cyber Monday as well, so we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the show, folks. It's Frank Fontana, Dave Marino, sitting in for a Steve Cochran show. Steve's off, I'm sure, enjoying his beautiful granddaughter and nursing his food hangover, just like we all are here today, right, Dave?
And maybe planning a golf outing, and we're talking about how to shop online, save time, money, and a hassle. And while you're at it, you can earn some cash back.
Yeah, joining us on the phone is from BeFrugal.com, John Lale. John, you still with us? Hey, John.
He's here with us.
He's here with us in spirit, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Cyber Monday and Black Friday. We've talked the heck about Black Friday, and where are all the people down here in Michigan? The Magnificent Mile is kind of bare.
You know what? Last year, the protest on Black Friday was big, so maybe people are afraid of it. That's what I'm probably thinking. At approximately 10 p.m. Is when the protest should get started. I'm sure our reporter Ryan Burrell in the newsroom will have more information in case that does happen. But I am very curious.
Wait. As we speak, I'm starting to see people shuttle down here, and I see a flag in the reflection of the mirror. It looks like we might be kicking off the protest as we speak. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to start off by the water tower, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like
so
they're heading down
walking that way.
Yeah, it's getting there. I'm feeling the tension in the air.
Yeah, last year they did block that street. And, we would like to know what are the hottest gift items for kids and adults this season. So we want to talk to John from BeFrugal.com.
Yeah, while we're getting John back on the line here, and maybe, I don't know, Shantae, is he still with us?
Our producer, Shantae, has magic fingers right now to try to get him back online.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the meantime, this Google Home thing, have you heard much about it, Dave?
I just know that it takes commands, voice commands or something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple out there, it controls your entire life. There's John, just hung up on us, I think. He didn't like the Google Home idea. Well, so it's for connected homeowners. It's a great gift for every home. The stylish Google Home smart speaker is now the rival of the Amazon Echo. That's the other product.
Or like Siri?
Kind of like the Siri on the phone, yeah. But it features, you know, Google's giant, you know, world in this device, which responds to your voice by tapping into ultra-advanced neural network. It can play music, answer questions, set timers, and control connected appliances, among many other things. Does this scare anybody out there listening? 312-981-7200. Are you concerned about the way technology has invaded your home? Because to me, this is like, I could use Siri. I'm like, you know, I'll talk to my phone occasionally. I like that feature. But to get the idea that this device will actually operate and control your world based on your command, and someday possibly be hacked and then take over your home, it could be interesting.
Like robots are taking over. I was seeing that the Anki Cosmo is another one of the hot items for techs of all ages, because it's the Anki Cosmo. It's a cute little robot with a ton of personality. It's powered by sophisticated artificial intelligence. It's capable of recognizing its owner and expressing feelings. Can you imagine? And always ready to play games with you, this little robot.
Yeah, that combined with Google Home, I mean, your life's being taken over just like the movie iRobot. You know, and you'll have to turn into Will Smith and kill them all. That's what I see happening.
Everything's becoming robotic. So not only you're going to go up to a teller and you're basically talking to a robot or calling and talking to a robot, so now your games and whoever you are on your everyday life interacting with is going to be robots.
Yeah.
Look at this.
I mean, I could take this a whole step further, and there's a huge trend out of Japan on, you know, the sex industry is moving all robotic as well.
The what?
The sex industry. One of the biggest gifts these days, for those who are interested and don't have any kind of partner, a real partner, is getting a cyber partner, a synthetic robot that emulates all of the fun things you would do with your lover.
Well, that would probably be nice, because I'm sure this robot will never talk back. I'm sure.
What are you saying, Dave?
It will never talk back. Will never be like, no, no.
I wonder if you can get any of this at befrugal.com. Can I get my robotic sex toy with there? Yeah, that's a good one. You know, listen, I feel like it's a trend where things are going. I just don't know if this is part of our protesters coming through here.
I was thinking, because some of them have similar shirts, so I believe so.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess the gist of this here is, you know, Cyber Monday. For me, it's been actually good. I like shopping online.
I like Cyber Monday because you could shop in underwear at home, basically. So you're just there chilling.
It's a visual right there, Dave.
That's what we call, and you know what?
Boxers or briefs?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
And at work, there's a lot of people during working hours. It's proven that on the Cyber Monday, they're actually shopping as well, since it's slow.
Yeah.
Most of the agencies, most of the job sites, they're pretty slow.
I finally got my wife to do it. This year, she's very particular. She's like, I want to set aside a little bit of money. I want you to put it in an envelope, and I'm going to budget it all, and then I'm going to go to the stores. I'm like, sweetheart, there's something called the internet, and you can now shop online, and you don't have to leave. And guess what? Things get delivered to your house.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
It's amazing. And then she started doing it, and it was like, wow, now she's doing it. Well, I might have created a monster, but she's doing it. We got some calls coming in talking about, are they worried about the tech thing like I am? Hey, George, thanks for calling the show. Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Hi, George. Welcome to Frank Fontana and David Miranda.
So here, the only thing that I really have to say is I'm not, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, technology, the, you know, artificial intelligence is going to get us, it's going to kill us, it's going to make human race, you know, obsolete. I'm not really worried about that aspect, as I am worried about the disconnect that it's causing us socially.
I'm with you, George.
Like,
I'm with
you. Know
you.
What? The term awkward to me, I feel like back in the day, because I'm young, but I feel like, you know, in the past, that word wasn't really as widely used as it is now, because back then people knew how to deal with awkward situations. That awkward situation wasn't awkward back then because you had to face it and you didn't have to hide behind your devices. I think kids are growing up now hiding behind their smartphones, and that face-to-face interaction that they're losing with all of this technology is completely – it's ruining their ability to interact socially and to feel that that back and forth, you know, that you need to sort of, you know, just function in society.
You know what? Even to interact with the family, that's why during Thanksgiving dinner, I think cell phones should be forbidden, especially with kids. Because
I did that. I did. I didn't bring my phone at all. I left it at home, went to my sister-in-law, did not bring the phone. It's the best Thanksgiving I've had in years.
Yeah, and for example, when you take road trips, you should have the kids say, okay, for the next hour, we're gonna socialize in the car. Nobody get their phones out, especially with the kids with the games.
Well, George brings up a really good point. I think that's the core of my statement here is that it not only will, you know, the Google Homes of the world and all those robotic products will certainly make life more convenient, but at the same time, you're right. It, you know, dealing with the social aspects of interacting with your family members and fellow human beings is really the bigger, scarier issue here, George, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
Thank you so much. Have
all
a wonderful
right.
day.
You got it. You too. Yeah, it brings up a good point. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, even with social media, we'll be talking more about this later in the show, is how, you know, what's the proper etiquette when it comes to social media? And are you going to be uninviting people this holiday season based on people's Facebook posts and political positions, right?
Yeah, or maybe they just get loud and annoying. Or is there somebody that you uninvited this year? So we're going to be talking about that in the next hour. And you can include yourself with us here at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll do some news, and we'll get started with uninviting our own get list, right, Dave?
Sure, why not? Here at WGN Radio.
I'll get working on that now. Happy post-Thanksgiving hangover. It's me, Frank Fontana, Dave Miranda, sitting in for Bill and Wendy now.
Now it is.
Now officially we're sitting in for Bill and Wendy, who, may I reiterate, have potentially been trampled in Walmart and Black Friday shopping at 6 a.m. this morning.
Oh, really?
It's not confirmed, but it's possible.
It always happens? Is that the routine?
It's usually what happens. We're shifting focus a little bit on the this hour here to talk about, you know, it was such a heated political election for the presidency. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to even weigh in on it because it's, you know, it's been done a million times. But the resonance, the resounding effect of it still lingers on, and in internally in family situations, especially around the holiday situation where you're, you know, seeing people you haven't seen, and you're going to kind of be forced to sit around, you know, the table with maybe people who have different views from you because they're family, right?
Yes.
I mean, what do you do when you don't agree with somebody? You know, apparently these days, people are just like Facebook, unliking, you know, people who make rude comments or disagree with their political positions. Now the trend is uninviting people.
It's because of their posts, because of their political views, maybe other family horror stories.
Are you uninviting, just like unliking people on Facebook? 312-981-7200. This holiday season, are you planning on maybe leaving out an invitation for you know, dinner or your usual party? Are people not going to make that list because of their political views or because of something they did to you? We'd love to hear it. You can air your dirty laundry with us. We won't tell anybody.
Yeah, or via text, 312-981-7200. I know some people, like me, I put it on my Facebook, so some people just don't show up on your feed because they have the most annoying stuff sometimes. They discuss the most annoying, like maybe they're talking about pets, and then they're always talking about pets or bashing people that love pets or bashing people that don't like pets.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to put up with this stuff.
Well, you kind of do, though, because if you are a part of the system, we all are these days. Everyone's got a social media account for the most part. If you don't, God bless you. If I didn't have to have one, I wouldn't. You know, if I wasn't a TV personality, radio personality, and part of this is part of the system that we live in, I would absolutely be off the grid. No doubt about it. Like, yesterday, I left my phone at home for Thanksgiving. Didn't return a call.
Family time.
Shutdown time. I mean, because our phones have become our world. It lives in your pocket. It's my office. It's my mobile office that sits in my pocket. And sometimes it's hard to shut it off. But with that, you're constantly checking your posts, you're checking your emails, you're checking your texts. It never ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this brings us to our point of, like, you know, when people start to invade your cyber reality, let's call it, your world online, like you're saying, it's offensive to you when, yeah, I could take one or two posts about dogs and pet supplies and all that stuff, but when it becomes somebody stick it in your face because you like pugs and they like dachshunds, you know, then there's a problem there,
yeah.
Right?
are always complaining about a certain cashier, a CTA, or bank teller. It's always
it's a whining society. I mean, yeah. Listen, part of the reason why Trump won is he kind of hit that nerve where he's like, I don't want, we've become a society of people who are like too politically correct, and everything is, everyone's offending everybody by every little statement. It's either keep it to yourself or be okay with hearing it all, and that's what being a public, like for yourself, being a public Facebook account or something like that, or accepting people as friends and they post something on your site offends you. Just like, this article from USA Today, this one gal here says, a 19-year-old said to her mother, calling weeks before Thanksgiving, and confronted her about her Facebook post regarding President-elect Donald Trump. She asked me if I was going to be disrespectful to my family, and I told her that I could work either way. That it could work either way, she says. If things I'm saying are disrespectful to Trump supporters, then things that the things they are saying are disrespectful also to me. So this idea that people are so at ends with, just taking politics as a category right now, but it could be anything.
Because it's been very hot. Yeah, it can be anything, any topic. And you know what? There's this psychologist. His name is Jamie Howard. He says that for those who are trying to repair relationships with family members or friends, do not touch anything that has to do with religion, politics, or any other hot button.
Yeah.
Just talk about the Christmas lights, talk about the decorations, talk about,
But I guess that brings me to a point, I was saying this earlier. Is that right, though? I mean, have we become a society where we can't say anything anymore? Like you can't just speak your mind? And be okay with a little bit of a debate and not understand that this doesn't mean the end of a relationship or the end of the world just because somebody disagrees. But that's what makes the world go around. If we all agreed on the same things, it'd be a pretty freaking boring place, don't you think?
Frank, do you think social media has played a big part in it? And we're going to talk about it on social media etiquette, but social media has made everybody very vocal. So it gives them the right to say
Certainly.
At a dinner table, like, I'm right.
Yeah, but will they, though? Or will they maintain the muscles behind the screen, so to speak, where it's just like, I'll be a big tough guy behind a computer, but when it comes to face to face, I'm not going to really voice my opinion. Or does that follow through? And you are becoming more vocal because of a Facebook post or disagreement. So I don't know. Let's take some calls on this. 312-981-7200. We have our first call coming in. Let's take Frankie. Hey, Frankie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You have a story to share with us about your Thanksgiving, Frankie?
Yeah, so, I'm a Mexican family, and it was pretty interesting, over dinner, the truth came out, like, who voted for who, and, we were all kind of shocked to see that we had family members that voted, you'd think they would vote one way, but they voted the other, and, all of that came out last night. We had some interesting conversations.
Well, and so how did you react? Was somebody against your political position?
Well, I'm pretty much like in the middle, but, there are people that I thought were going to vote, let's say for Hillary Clinton, and they ended up voting for Donald Trump,
Mm.
So, and vice versa. So, it was just, it seems like, people are, before the election, people were a little shy about admitting who they were going to vote for. And, post-election, it's starting to come out a little bit more. I think, there's the shock of the results. You're starting to realize that, there were more people thinking the other way than you thought, in your own family. We're a Mexican family. You think that, everybody was going to be voting anti-Trump, and it turns out that there were a lot of people that were thinking the other way, that were...
Yeah, a lot of Latinos, not only Mexicans, a lot of Latinos voted for Trump as well. Did they say why? Was there any particular...
Those are the same reasons that you hear on the same reasons you hear on television and the radio, they can see the country going in the right direction. They did think that something had to be done with the wall, with our border, not necessarily a wall, but, something to be done down there. It just can't be just freewheeling down there and, jobs and, the exact same things that are echoed in regular media,
And Frankie, did you stay out of it or did you get yourself involved in the conversation?
You know what? I'm in the middle. I could go one way or another. I was hoping either candidate would come towards the middle anyway, mm-hmm. whether it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I hoped it would come my way because I think I'm like most people in the country. I'm You know, I'm just minding my own business. I'm working. You know, I stay out of trouble. I don't intend to have, you know, do anything crazy in my life. So I needed both of them to come my way, you know, come towards the middle. And I think most people are like that. You know, you just got, you know, you got bills to pay. You got kids to take care of. You got a job to go to.
It's called reality. Yeah.
You got to continue on with life, Frankie. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we don't have time to be marching down in the street and starting fires or
swearing.
You know,
that's the worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we just need people to kind of come and meet in the middle. I think most people are somewhere in the middle, you know. And speaking of something good to come out of this, you know, we have a president like Trump, but we also have a guy like David Miranda on WGN.
That's right. Exactly. You got a fan here, Dave.
David Miranda is like Mexican royalty on the radio, man.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm going to give you your check later on, Frankie. Hey, Frankie, before we have to cut you off, thank you so much. Do you have an uninvited guest then from that family last night?
Yeah. Who are you not inviting next week? next week for the next couple of weeks for the holidays?
Oh, that's always the brother-in-law. He doesn't get invited ever. Yeah.
On that note, Frank, now that you just put it out there for millions of people to hear, good luck with that.
I just want to say, you know, David Miranda, he's like Shakira, you know. I don't have hips.
He shakes him like Shakira, though. I can tell you that.
Very good in English, but way, way better in Spanish.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah,
Frankie, thank you so much. We appreciate the call.
Orale, David.
Thank you, Frankie.
You got a fan base out there, man. I love that, Dave.
You know what it is? I worked for Spanish media so long that I feel that I'm speaking English as a second language now. In the last year, ever since I joined WGN.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. All right, we got to take a quick break, and we'll be diving into this topic of the uninvited people who were left out of the Thanksgiving list, or who you're thinking about uninviting for Christmas and the upcoming holidays. 312-981-7200 is our number. If you're thinking about it, you want to talk through it, we're here for you. We're actually going to have an expert on the show, communication expert, professor, and author Leslie Shore is going to be joining us around 10:35 to discuss this and social media etiquette as well through the holidays. So don't go anywhere. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Frank Fontana, Dave Miranda sitting in for Bill and Wendy. You can usually catch the show, Frank Fontana Show, Sundays from 1 to 3. But, hey, we're here today, and we're having a little bit of fun.
And we're going to have a blast on Sunday because we have one of the designers from the White House. We're going to have her at 1 o'clock this Sunday.
Very highfalutin.
Yes.
That's this show.
Yeah, she has great ideas and the do's and don'ts and so on and so forth in the holiday decorating. But today we're decorating our house, or we're probably thinking of that guest that we threw out of the house.
The guest list, right? You got you're putting that guest list together about who you're going to invite for Christmas, Hanukkah, the holidays, all that stuff. And you're wondering, should I invite Uncle Joe? You know, he was kind of a jerk to me last time, or even at Thanksgiving last night. There might have been some people that have offended you, maybe their political views, maybe the way they talk, the way they chew their food. Whatever it is, are you thinking about, just like Facebook, when you unlike somebody or you block them from your Facebook page? Are you going to block somebody from your next holiday party? 312-981-7200 is the number here at WGN Radio. We'd love to hear from you.
I wonder if the people listening right now are like me. I think alcohol plays a big role as well, because after a few drinks, people can start getting annoying or loud or...
Do you make the alcohol, it helps you make that decision to uninvite somebody? Or you mean those people drinking it's the cause of the reason why you wouldn't want somebody in there?
Yes, I would say so, because they change. People change after a couple of tequilas or beers.
I get more fun.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I you know, when I have a drink and I get wired, I just need with wine.
You want music, and you want to just get going, right?
I get all wired. But other people take things very personal, or they get offended with any little thing.
That's what social media does. It gets people going. You post your opinions. You know, it shouldn't be Facebook. It's opinion book. That's all it is. You're just giving your opinions and your 3-second slices of life that give the illusion of grandeur in most cases, in my opinion. You definitely give a perception, you know, off your social media page, and you give an opinion, you give a position, and that position, whether it's, you know, accepted lightly or not, you know, becomes part of your world in real life. So you can no longer, you know, once you're engaging in holiday gatherings, you can no longer hide behind a screen, and if somebody doesn't like your opinion, are you prepared for that confrontation? You give us a call, 312-981-7200. We've got some calls coming in now. We got some texts as well. This one I like, from the 630. Good morning. I was taught 60 years ago to not talk about religion, politics, or money with anyone. What do you think about that, Dave?
I think that's totally true. In 2010, I took a bartending course, and that's the first thing they teach you. Do not talk about religion, sports, and politics. That's three topics, hot keys topics, that you should not talk about with your guests or your clients.
Yeah. But do you feel like we live in a politically correct society, an overly politically correct society, where we can't give an opinion without somebody getting tremendously offended? I mean, do you feel like that's true? Like, what happened to the barbershop days where you can rattle around a topic and debate about a sports figure and everyone leaves laughing and, you know, with a good haircut?
Yeah, and then you have something to make fun of next time, maybe, based on that topic.
Yeah.
So we have Jeffrey here who would like to speak.
Yeah, let's talk to Jeffrey. Jeff, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, the thing that frightens me, and I'll tell you, is that, you know, we don't have the communication where we used to look at each other eye to eye. Yeah. And there's no empathy anymore. And people forget, you know, because I was a baby when it happened, but they had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Mm-hmm. And people used to, and Kennedy and Khrushchev looked at each other, you know, and communicated. And because they communicated, they avoided a disaster.
Yeah.
And what frightens me is that we're getting to the point where we don't even talk to each other. You know, and Donald Trump, I don't think, has any empathy or any feeling. Yeah. And I'm afraid of nuclear war. We're going to walk right into a goddamn war because nobody's really sitting down and seeing what the disaster is looming on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, we all hope that's not the case, though. I mean, but I agree with you, Jeffrey. I believe that there's something to be said about face-to-face communication and the lack of. You know, I always feel like, you know, text message can be totally taken so many different ways, from the tones and nuances of what communication does for people face-to-face, you know, versus the non-emotional text or the non-emotional post where it's...
Yeah, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. I don't know if you heard it on the news, but... You know, it used to be the nuclear clock. They had it set for 15 minutes to midnight. Mm-hmm. Before Donald Trump was elected, they had it at 3 minutes to midnight. I'm wondering now how close it's gotten since Donald Trump has been elected, how much that clock has moved up.
Where can we find this clock? Do we know where?
It was on the news. There's people that run the clock, the nuclear clock. They've been doing it since 1945.
Yeah,
and it's the nuclear people, and they're saying out of the clock they didn't tell the direction they're going to move it in, but it didn't sound good.
Yeah.
They said now we're at 3 minutes to midnight.
Yeesh.
And it scares me because there was a time during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that's when it was at its worst time. It was a minute. Now if there's a crisis in the world, you know, in the Middle East or. Now, one thing that Trump wants to do, and it terrifies the hell out of me, he wants to get rid of NATO.
Yeah.
He wants us to pull out of NATO, and that's suicide.
Yeah, I agree, Jeffrey. You know, there's definitely a lot of opinions on this matter. We thank you for the call. You know, we could debate the topic all day long. I don't know if we're quite there at nuclear status yet, though.
Definitely at least talking eye to eye.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's an important takeaway from Jeff's call there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll jump into this with an expert who knows all about communications, professor and author Leslie Shore will talk to us about this topic and about social media etiquette. In the meantime, if you want to keep pouring in your texts and calls, 312-981-7200 on the matter of unfriending people and uninviting people for the holiday. Are you thinking about it? Are you considering it? Let us know. Welcome back to the show. It's Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill and Wendy. Dave Miranda's joining me here on the co-hosting chair.
Yes, and a Black Friday day, and I love the topics we have here today because I would definitely like to speak to Leslie Shore, which is a communication expert, professor, and author. And the owner of Listen to Succeed.
Yeah, we're talking about the topic of uninvited guests for Thanksgiving, and for various reasons like politics and/or Facebook posts or offensive odor or stuff like that. Hey, Leslie, thanks for joining the show.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Actually, pretty good, even though the Vikings lost yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're gonna get much love for that here in Chicago, unfortunately.
Did you eat your sadness away last night?
Say that again?
Did you eat your sadness away last night?
No.
That's funny. She might have drank it away. Who knows? Leslie, talk to us about this. So we were on the phone. We were taking calls and texts, and people are chiming in about the topic of potentially uninviting people for the holidays based on an opinion or a Facebook post or a social media post, and how this has become kind of like normal. It's scary, isn't it?
Well, it is scary, and one of the reasons that it's scary is because social media, as it's constructed, kind of makes you feel somewhat anonymous, even though everybody knows who it is. But you're saying things that normally you wouldn't say face-to-face or over the phone. And when you do that and you add emotion to it, it can get you into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like social media has created, like, cyber muscles, you know, for people who normally wouldn't have a voice before? Or maybe, you know, I think about this all the time, people who were picked on, who maybe, you know, had a troubled youth, who never socially were, you know, comfortable. Now they have this power of a keyboard and a screen and a Facebook account or a social media account where they can now blast people, you know, with some kind of screen.
Or do mean things and hide behind a screen.
Yeah.
And I would say that's not just for the folks that usually don't have a voice. Sometimes, more often actually, it's for the folks that do have a voice and feel so powerful that they want that voice to go everywhere.
Whether warranted or not, right?
Right. So, right. And this is part of the issue that we have in terms of who do we invite to Thanksgiving or Christmas? When you talk about what happens on social media, it really does sometimes pull families apart, and it is something that it is so, what's the word I want to use? It can be so contentious that if things are aired out on social media, as we know, you can't take it back.
Yeah.
And it can literally have a schism in the family for a generation.
So, I mean, from a psychological perspective, you know, in counseling people for this, how big is this trend? How many people are coming to experts and counselors to try to fix what they've done on social media? Are they recognizing their wrongs, or has this become such a normal part of communication these days?
Well, it's about 50-50. Some people realize that they've taken it over the line, or someone in their family has done so, and half the folks not only don't realize it, but this is actually who they are in person also, and so they don't see it for what it is. But there are a lot of people who are realizing that the technology that we have in terms of social media, ethics and etiquette have not caught up with the technology.
What are the major social media no-nos that you see commonly?
Say that again?
What are the major social media no-nos that you commonly see?
Oh, posting out of emotion, not thinking before you post a reply, so that instead of using your critical thinking brain, you end up using your emotional or fight and flight brain, and that's never a good place to come from. So that's one of them. The second thing is that you really do hurt a lot of family when you post the fact that you just got engaged on Facebook and didn't pick up the phone and actually call that sister or that best friend first.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're part of the great unknown instead of, hey, I thought I was important to you.
Right. I'm more special than just to hear it. I get it all. I mean, I get that. I mean, that's a tough one, you know. But it rides the line of where it's convenient for the poster to not have to call the 100 people to tell them this, but then for the recipient of that message who maybe thinks they're a little bit more special and deserve that attention, I don't know, you know, that's a tough one to me because, you know, like how else do you get a mass, you know, announcement out? And then do you make those phone calls first?
Back to the eye to eye, because I know some family members that are like, oh, we're going to have a camping trip. Well, I didn't know about it. I put it on Facebook. It's like, oh, really? Well, I'm not on Facebook day and night.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
so you got to be on Facebook to find out about your families. But so do you think people are sharing too much on Facebook then, Leslie?
Oh, there's no question. There are two areas where that's the case. One is that you can be having a conversation literally on Facebook, posting back and forth. It can turn south, and now everybody is sharing that dirty laundry. And that, honestly, is not only not a good idea, but that begins to affect real friends and real family on both sides. And then the second thing is, boy, oh boy, you know, when you have someone that you know in person that incessantly talks about themselves, well, you have that on social media.
Yeah.
And they become a braggosaurus and post everything they're doing, everywhere they're going, and it clogs up your feed, and it's like, do I really care about what this person is doing every minute of the day?
Yeah.
It's an ego thing.
It is an ego thing. And I find, Leslie, what's interesting is somebody who you know has a public account that's a certified kind of celebrity account, there's a certain amount of posting I have to do to, like, yeah. You know, like, hey, I'm going to be on the Today Show, or I'm going to be, my show is airing Saturday at 9. So it's a little more informative, but I don't have a personal account for any of my social media. I don't post personal events. I don't post when I'm going to the toilet, what I ate for breakfast. So I agree with you. Like, on that note, I think there's way too much oversharing going on. And then, you know, I think that, you know, does Facebook itself, I know this is kind of a tough question, do they hold any responsibility for creating this, what I feel has become the disengagement of the society and communication? You know, I mean, they got to claim some responsibility for, you know, I mean, people have sued, you know, Philip Morris, people have sued McDonald's, people have sued major companies,
Starbucks
for doing things that they feel are unhealthy for the world. But has anybody thought for a second to say, God, somebody created this? This just didn't happen. Somebody created this mess.
Well, I would say this. Facebook is not responsible per se for what is going on here, because as many issues that we have on the negative side, we have people who haven't seen or heard from each other in years.
That's true.
Getting together and really rediscovering parts of themselves in their past that they never would have had the chance to do so before. What I think the issue is without a rule book to go by, that's number one. And number two, I think that all social media platforms should use the same kind of algorithms that Amazon does to figure out what they should put up on your screen as you might also like. They should use those kind of algorithms to make sure that whatever posting is going on can be monitored or put into kind of a holding area until it's looked at, so that we do not have some of these flaming, insensitive, and downright horrific posts posted in an area that should not be a place of negativity.
This is a very interesting conversation. We're going to go to a quick break, but we want to touch upon communication and social media, which are two different things. That's very interesting.
Yeah, we want to hear your opinion. 312-981-7200. Do you have a take on this topic? We're fascinated by it, and we're going to continue our conversation with Leslie Shore. She's an author, professor, and communication expert. When we come back. Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. It's Frank Fontana, Dave Miranda sitting in for Bill and Wendy as they get their Black Friday shopping on somewhere.
Or they're probably recovering from so much eating last night. And we have a very interesting topic about social media etiquette. And when it comes to communicating and social media communication, there are two different things. And we have Leslie Shore, a communication expert, professor, and author with us.
Hey, Leslie, you still holding on with us?
Oh, yes, you bet.
Well, thanks for doing this. Really fascinating topic. We want to take people's calls as well, 312-981-7200, regarding the topic of communication via social media, and is it affecting your holiday invite list? Are you leaving people off because of what they post, what they say? Are they too brazen on social media? We want to know. And right now, Dave, throughout the question here, when it comes to communicating in social media, communication, are there two different rules of the game?
Well, there seem to be. There seems to be one rule that says keep it simple, keep it civil, and keep it interesting. And then there seems to be another rule that says be as crazy as you want to be as ununderstandable as you want it to be, because what you want is a reaction. And people just pick one side or the other. And you know that very quickly.
You know, when you say reaction, you are so right on that, because there's some people that post fake news, and instead of saying CNN, it's like CRR.
Yeah.
And it's just about the likes and the sharing and reaction.
And part of the issue with that, you're so right, is people now honestly do not know who to believe. What source do they go to actually pick up what should be what we would consider facts? Where do you pick that up now? Our feeds are getting so clogged with other stuff.
And how do you decipher it? I mean, really, it's like people are, you know, for people who are new to, like, my mom is somewhat new. She's been on it for a couple of years, but still gets pulled into those fake posts. And she's like, did you see, you know, Kanye West just bought, you know, all of, you know,
American
Airlines. Right. It's like, Mom, you really believe that story?
It's not only that. It also, a social media can cost you your next job, because I know certain companies, they look into your social media before they even hire you.
Oh, absolutely. And this is something that they're beginning to actually teach in high school, about the usage of social media will actually affect whether or not you're going to get into the college you want to get into.
Yeah. And they should
nothing leaves.
And they should take that a step further in educating people on what you will be perceived as based on your post. How people, because that's the biggest thing with social media is the perception of what you're putting out. Because we all know that 90% of what people post is a 3-second slice of their life that they make to be more dramatic or better or worse, or, you know, whatever the story is. And it's not the true story. It's not the big scope of it all, you know, and I can't help but stress that over time, because you're getting this whole sidebar of people getting major depression at looking at their friends' posts and other people's posts or following celebrity posts. You know, do you see that often as well, Leslie?
Well, I do, because I think it doesn't give an accurate picture of who that person is. But we have to remember, if they're the ones who are posting, they are the ones who are creating that picture.
Right.
And so that's the other part of the rule that's so important. You're in charge. So what are you going to do with the power of social media to help yourself or hurt yourself?
Yeah. You know, one aspect, Dave, before we jump in here is the mongers on the net, the trolls on the net, that just go into social media chat rooms and start trouble and, like, go after people and like, you know, use it for evil. You know, because I think there's a good amount of population that do that, you know. Leslie, how do you deal with people like that?
Basically, unfriend them if they're on your Facebook. Unlike them. Unfollow them. Do everything you can do to get them out of your social media. If that's the way they want to play, you do not have to play with them. And ignore them. That is the most important thing. If they're on a platform that you really like and normally it's not a problem, just ignore them. Do not engage.
Yeah, because if you do, you're giving them importance and you're making them grow.
Yep.
Right.
Because they're affecting you.
Right. It'll escalate, and that's the thing that you do not want to happen.
Can we see this in your book, Listen to Succeed, and can we learn all these tips?
Well, you can certainly learn a whole bunch of tips about listening, about communication, about being present for others, about improving their self-esteem by the fact that you're listening, and how much you can learn because you're listening without your ego in the way. And you can also go on my website, listentosucceed.com, and learn a whole bunch more.
Leslie, you hit something right there on the head, being present. I think,
yes,
that is one thing that social media does not let people do. It's your
correct.
You're always projecting into the future. You're anticipating. You're seeing these posts that are bringing you out of the now, which is probably the biggest problem in the world. You know,
I would agree with you, because I have to say, if we were all present and really present in the moment, there would be so many things we would not do and would not say.
Yep.
And that Indeed, it really is an issue.
Yeah. Good stuff, Leslie. We appreciate it. We're going to have you back on the show. You can join us on our Sunday show from 1 to 3. We'll have Leslie come on and talk more about this topic.
Yeah, because so you can identify and overcome barriers of effective hearing, listening. And you know what? Her book is used in universities and businesses and non-for-profits throughout the United States and Canada, which is what caught our attention. Thank you so much for calling in today, Leslie.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure, and I would love to continue to converse, Frank and Dave. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Before you go, do you think people should be punished for poor social media etiquette? Or how can we start a movement?
Good way to leave it, Dave. I like that little drop off there. Oh, by the way, should people be punished and tortured and maimed?
Maybe we can start a movement, Frank. You never know.
Yeah,
I like it. You know how they get punished? They get unfollowed and unliked and are ignored, and maybe they'll figure out the why.
Yeah.
No friends, they're alone.
That's a good way to leave it, Leslie. I like it. Good stuff. Well, have yourself a good holiday season. Hopefully we'll be talking to you real soon.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
You got it. Hey, and listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking to a really special guest, Dave. She's the co-star of Downtown Shabby on A&E Network and FYI Network. My wife, Sherry, will be calling in, and we're going to be talking about the show as well as a couple topics like, are your home decorating trends trendy, or are they just good ideas that will last a long time? And
I'm glad we have a female here because we want to know about the gifts a woman truly like.
And yeah, 10 gifts no woman wants to get from her husband or boyfriend. We'll see if she confirms these. I'm going to be put on task for this. I know it.
Uh-oh. I hope they don't throw you under the bus, Frank. We'll have that right after this.
Hey there. Welcome back to the show. Filling in for Bill and Wendy, it's me, Frank Fontana. Sitting in my co-chair is Dave Miranda, who apparently has a huge fan base here in the Latin American community, Dave.
I believe so, thanks to the text and through social media. Look, you have an instant reaction through social media, which is great. Hopefully they can contribute with us here on our topics. Yeah. I'm glad we have our next guest, which is your co-host.
Yeah, it happens to be my wife.
Downtown Shabby Show.
Yeah, it's Sherry Fontana. Hey, Sher.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for calling in. How's the kids? They doing good?
Yes, I was actually on my way out the door to come join you live, but my little daughter didn't want me to leave. I didn't have the heart to walk out. So
see how good my wife is.
Out home, they're good.
Look at that. How is it working with Frank Fontana as a husband?
Oh, God, you had to go there.
Doing a TV show, living together, writing together to the recordings, I'm surprised that you guys are even saying hi to each other.
Thanks, Dave.
It is the best thing in the world.
Oh, wow. God, please.
Honestly, there's lots of ups and downs, but all in all, it really turns out amazing. But, you know, there's struggles just like anything.
It is a reality show, I mean, on one half of it, and then you got the renovation part of it. So the show is Downtown Shabby. It's we make over older homes in the Chicagoland and Illinois area, and usually from 1950 and older, we go in and with our team, we take over, you know, the project, design, build the whole thing, and turn out some pretty amazing, you know, products at the end. And you could you know, see my wife and I in action. And you know what? This is her first time in television, Dave. And I got to say, hats
really
off.
You can't tell.
Yeah, I mean, Dave's a fan of the show. He's watched Sherry.
Yes.
I mean, Dave, what do you think of her performance?
You know, she really keeps it together. I like your idea, Sherry. I really do, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that might think like, where is she getting this stuff from? But tomorrow
she's married to me, Dave. You know, that's where she gets it from.
Yeah.
Tomorrow there's a new episode, right?
Yes, tomorrow's a new episode, and you know, I always say this, and it's really true. Frank is big picture, you know, all about design and walking in and have beautiful visions, and I come in and I'm more of like the realist. And making sure that things function and they can afford it on their budget. So we really do work well together in that respect. You know, it's a good balance. But this coming episode is pretty crazy because if you can't tell from some of the episodes, I'm right in there real. Like, I'm in there doing the work. Mm-hmm. And
She has a tattoo of a sledgehammer on her chest. People don't know that.
It's huge. but this coming episode, something happens where you will definitely feel the tension, and I'm very nervous for a big portion of the show because we find something that has to be removed.
Don't spill the beans, though, babe. Don't spill the beans.
No, but it's a lot of tension, a lot of tension for sure.
I'm sure these older homes, you might find things that have been there since 1912, basically, and I'm sure...
And things that you would never imagine would exist behind a wall. I mean, there's been times where we thought we were close to finding Al Capone's body. I'm not going to lie.
Well, he's
yeah.
in Chicago, but...
Yeah,
like
it's somewhere in Chicago. We just don't know. But it might have been behind one of the walls we opened up. I think that's where Sherry's going with this whole thing.
So tomorrow at 9 p.m., right?
Yes, tomorrow at 9 p.m. And that, what we find behind the walls, it's so extreme. I mean, it can be an old mouse that has, you know, passed away 100 years ago, literally. That's just like...
Dust.
Down to
yeah.
the dust. Or it can be amazing tile behind, like, three layers of new tile that is this beautiful gem. So it's definitely extreme, so you never know what you're going to find, and that's really, like, the beauty and the fun of it.
And I think this week's episode, the big, big part of this is, yeah, there's a lot of drama getting to the end, but the end of the show with the reveal on this one, you know, huge, 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 huge. I'm not going to give any more away, but I can tell you that people who appreciate great design, who appreciate nice things in their home, I think will love this episode, and that's all we could say about it, because...
Yeah, I would definitely not mind cooking in this kitchen.
Yeah, see, you gave it away.
Ooh.
There you go. Well, I was trying to avoid saying the kitchen, but...
No, but the holidays are coming, so it's perfect.
This
Maybe
is true.
You wanna
this is
get
true.
Prepared for the holidays.
Speaking of the
dinner.
Holidays, Cher, so we got this article that Dave is forcing me to talk about here.
yeah, I'm twisting his arm. The thing is that we needed a female in here, and we're like, perfect, we're gonna talk to Sherry, so might as well ask her about helping up the guys here today, because what would you think if Frank showed up with something he gave you without a receipt, like clothing?
So this article is 10 gifts no woman wants to get from their husband or boyfriend. And the first one Dave is referring to is clothing without a receipt. What's your feeling on that?
I didn't love it. Although Frank, because Frank has an eye for this, he usually picks me out great clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But someone's clothing without a receipt, you're stuck with it. If you don't like it, it's very awkward. Then you have nothing to say. You know, you're not going to go back and tell your boyfriend, by the way, I don't like that. So definitely include a receipt. But I think, you know, you run the risk of the wrong size and then insulting the girl. And if you're going to do anything with clothing, let her pick it out.
That's because he knows you. That's because you know her very well. You guys have been married, but let's just say boyfriend, girlfriend, you're barely dating. You're barely getting to know with each other. I think you should show up with a receipt. What about...
Or what about just a gift certificate? Why not just a gift certificate? You know, like just
that shows you don't know her, or you don't show the interest of finding
out more about her. Or
shows
you care that you care that you don't want to get to a fight with her if you get her the wrong size or something.
I guess with gift cards, they become a little bit more generic only because you can get a gift card now at your local grocery store. So you don't actually have to go to the store to pick out the gift card. So it's really less personal. But I have to say, when Frank and I started dating, probably a year into us dating, Frank gave me 10 sessions to a boxing gym. I love boxing, so you would think that I would like it. But I think he was trying to tell me something.
No, I wasn't.
Not give a gift card. A membership to your girlfriend.
So that means Frank
really?
Was very good, a very good boyfriend, because
no, she's
having
saying
a girlfriend in boxing.
She's saying that was like, what do I think, she's fat? Like, that's what she was saying, basically.
No, but if you...
I don't know.
But if you were taking her to a boxing class, I mean, that means you must have been very good, because then she was going to use these moves on you.
This is true. It's a double-edged sword. We have a little gift coming in for our friends at Sprinkles. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. What about staying away from the stank? Because I've always heard just every single year, do not give perfume unless you know what she really likes, what he really likes, anybody. Do not give perfume as a gift.
How about pets? Should we ever give a pet as a gift? Cher? I did this once, didn't I?
Yeah, that didn't work out for us.
This was a dumb one.
Dog, cat.
Yeah, we both were like, oh, I'm gonna get it. Well, I'll surprise her. We'll get her a dog and stuff. And we both kind of were on the same page. But then we got this dog, this white little what is it? The mini Malamu, or like little mini Eskimo looking dog.
Shih Tzus or whatever.
Nah, it's like one of those small white puffy. Like it was a
Maltese,
like a white puffy looking thing. And it didn't work out so good, huh, babe?
Not so much. I was driving back to Frank's house with the dog, and before we got in the car, before we left my house, the dog decided to have a 10 accidents in the house along the way, and I had just redone the house.
White rug she had, and
white rug.
You could say it was brown after that.
Yeah. So unless you are ready to take on the responsibility together, I would not recommend giving a pet.
You know what? And unless you both go to a shelter and rescue an animal, which is, would probably even be better because it'll make you better human beings and make you feel better around the holidays. Go to a shelter and adopt. Why not?
Good point.
As a couple.
Hey, babe, hold on. We got to take a break. We're on the phone with Sherry Fontana, co-host of Downtown Shabby. Airs on FYI Network. The new episodes air on FYI. You can check your local cable network for what channel it is. I know on Comcast out by our area, it's 269. And you can also catch the reruns on A&E Saturday mornings at 9 and 10 a.m. here in the Midwest.
Or do it like me. I've watched them on FYI.com.
Yep, or on demand. They're available
easier.
On demand.
All right, we're going to get the party started here, and we're with Sherry Fontana, your wife. She's the co-star of Downtown Shabby.
Yeah.
And discussing about gift ideas and some
from products. From your husband or boyfriend, like what are things you should avoid? And Sherry, I think, what was the next one here, Dave?
It's about some bad stuff. You know, I believe this would be more for boyfriend because your husband should know what you really like, and if not, there's a big problem. There's a huge problem, actually. What do you think about giving away some bath stuff, like, you know, those smelly, creamy stuff, shampoos, all that from, like...
Sherry, you a fan?
So I personally would love this. I love taking baths. So I would love something like this, maybe with a few candles, some bubble baths. When you become a mother, you have less time to do this. So I do this for your girlfriend, maybe not your wife, unless you're going to watch the while she takes the bath.
I'll do that.
Yeah,
if you're down, I'll do that.
That would be a great excuse.
I'll get you a boatload of baths.
I can wash her back for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. Speaking of gifts, we're going to give away some gifts right now. And the seventh caller to tell us their worst Thanksgiving fail from last night's fiasco or fun time, we'd love to hear it. 312-981-7200. The first caller with the funniest story will get a what, Dave?
Certificate for a desktop sports theme artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights from Tree Time Christmas Creations. And it's on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And you can visit treetime.com, treetime.com. And we'll include a Christmas package, including a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete two-fold repairing for repairing holiday light sets, and a scent keeper as well. This is from lightkeeperpro.com.
And make them true and make them funny, all right? I'll know if you're lying. Trust me. All right, let's go back to Sherry Fontana and 10 gifts that guys should or shouldn't give to their lady. How about cash, babe? How you feeling about cold, hard green?
You know, it's so hard because I think it's very different when it's your wife versus your girlfriend. Because I think if you're dating, cash wouldn't be best. I think something, you know, super personal and cute and, you know, romantic is the way to go with your girlfriend.
I think there's a point there because if you're dating or you're just boyfriend, girlfriend, it'll be like, thank you for your services. Have a nice day. You know, I would feel like
that. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to hear other, you know, people's opinion. 312-981-7200. Text us in right now. Just text. If you think it's appropriate to give your significant lady friend cash as a gift, would you hate it if you're a woman, or would you do it if you're a guy? I'd love to hear that.
We were talking about kitchen utensils or kitchen tools. What about kitchen stuff?
Sure. What do you think of kitchen stuff as a gift? Because I'm getting ideas right now for Christmas. This is the whole point of the segment right now.
Okay.
It's
so
a disguise.
Not for a Christmas gift. I would love kitchen accessories, but... Not for a Christmas gift, unless I was using it to cook Christmas dinner, but then it really wouldn't be a gift because I would be working.
This is true. So that's a double-edged sword, though, you know? It's like, because what if you really wanted that really cool, like, knife set? You know what I mean?
Like, so my philosophy on all this is we need to go back to the basics, to the old traditions, old family values, do nice things for people. You sit around the fireplace, enjoy a romantic dinner. Those are the things I like, and I would hope that people still want to do nice things like that.
Or something you made on yourself?
Yeah, Sherry does that with our kids all the time. She'll sit down with them and do crafts, and, you know, they'll, like, you know, make gifts out of them. So I think that's really cute. So you don't think, like, a candy you got on sale at Rite Aid is a good one?
You could...
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I think if you were dating, you'd get blocked after that if you get the sale candy. What about jewelry? Because that's something that almost everybody likes.
That's a good one. I mean, most women do love jewelry, and I think something like that for keepsake, you know, memorable. I think that would be a good one. But I think it's all just based on personalities and looking to know the person to see really what they would like best and giving it thought.
This is true. I think whatever it is, ultimately, you're right, Sherry. It's just giving them thought. So, you know, I got this piece of paper here that I've thought really long and hard about that I'm just going to write a love letter to you. And it's going to be...
Honestly, Frank, I would love that.
All right, see, Dave?
DIY. There you go. Something you wrote.
Inexpensive.
Going back to Presents 101, even though it shouldn't really be about gifts, and like Sherry said, it's about going back to the traditions, you know, family time, you know, leave the iPad, leave the iPhone, have more face-to-face, eye-to-eye.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let's share. Hold on. We're going to take Shanti, can you lock Sherry in? And then we're going to take a call regarding our craziest Thanksgiving story. Hey, Zach, you're on with Frank, Dave, and, well, Sherry just got lost. But you're on with Frank and Dave.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me.
You had quite a night because he got drunk with his girlfriend's parents.
Yeah, they convinced me of playing drinking Jenga, and... I'm not very good at Jenga to start, and especially after a bottle of wine and around seven or eight shots.
Did they drink with you, Zach? Did they get?
Oh, they drank with me, but they're a lot better. I just kept losing.
So let me ask you, did it end well for you?
I mean, I don't really remember most of it after a little bit, but my girlfriend said everything's fine. So,
so you're not blocked.
I'm going off that.
You're not blocked yet from the next Christmas party or dinner.
I'm just going to stay away from Jenga altogether with them.
All right. Not the alcohol, the Jenga, because the Jenga is really the problem, not the alcohol.
Jenga, if I didn't be so bad at Jenga, I wouldn't have a problem, you know.
That's a good one, Zach. All right, cool. Let's get you on hold. Let's get Zach some gifts.
Yeah, we're going to give you,
you
a certificate for a Desktop Sports artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights from Treetime Christmas Creations from treetime.com. And we're going to include a package of Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a scent keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. And that is from lightkeeperpro.com.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So
thank
there you go.
So
you can invite him over and play another game. Maybe try Uno or try some other game, Monopoly or something else.
But with some Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Zach, thanks so much for the call. Good
thank
luck
you.
And have fun with those prizes and have a great holiday.
You too. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's Frank Fontana, Dave Miranda sitting in for Bill and Wendy. Joining us on the phone lines is my co-host for Downtown Shabby, and Sherry Fontana.
Shabby Sherry,
as we call her, as well as talking about what to do with all those Thanksgiving leftovers. Chef Richie Farina is joining us. Hey, Richie, there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for taking some time after a crazy holiday. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic. How was yours?
It was bountiful. Let's just say that.
Less to eat, less to drink. And I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are wondering what they're going to do with that big old bird left over, because I'm sure there's lots of it. And besides sandwiches, what can we do with leftovers?
You know, there's a few different things. One of my favorite things, my favorite side is mac and cheese. And normally it's one that's baked and kind of left over. If you have that, mac and cheese fritters are always a good thing to make the next day.
Ooh, how do you make those?
So it's already in, like, you know, if you put your mac and cheese back in the fridge, it's going to set up and already kind of be in a brick sort of shape. All you have to do the next day is take it out, kind of cut it in, you know, whatever shape you want, little squares or rectangles or whatever. A simple ready procedure of flour, eggs, and breadcrumbs, which are all, again, things that you probably have left over from yesterday, and then just throw it in a fryer at 350 and, you know, makes a nice little crispy fritter. And then, you know, if you have some leftover sausage, you can put some gravy on it. If, you know, you got barbecue sauce or whatever in the fridge, it's a nice little appetizer for the following day.
That's awesome. Now, my wife's not a big fan. She's on the phone, by the way, Rich. You could say hi to Sherry.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
She's not a fan of leftovers, but I'm trying to convince her to be a bigger fan of it. Can you explain to her why it's so great to use leftovers, especially the day after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm like, I think, you know, using leftovers in something other than sandwiches, for me anyway, culinary-wise, is a great challenge. Also, saves you from going to the grocery store again the following day. You know, family and friends being in town, you really don't want to run out and do anything, you know, get anything else. So, you know, kind of be creative with what you have already. So, you know, another thing you can do is, like, take essentially all your leftovers of whatever, like the turkey and your veggies, maybe you have some mashed potatoes, maybe you have an extra pie tin, you know, graham cracker shell, whatever that you didn't bake. It's a very easy way to make, like, a turkey pot pie, kind of put everything all in one thing and then bake it. Also, too, you don't want to spend a ton of time kind of cooking again since you cooked yesterday. So you can find little tricks here and there to kind of, you know, make some interesting side dishes or interesting meals out of what you have already. It's a great way to save time, spend with your family, and not spend a ton of time in the kitchen.
And you know how it's cooked, because if you have to go buy the stuff to make the turkey soup or sandwiches or the pot pie like you just mentioned, you cooked it yourself, so you know exactly what it is and how healthy it is.
And I think in the case of my wife, Rich, and Sherry, you could speak to this, is I don't think she likes leftovers, period. Like, Sherry, you defend yourself here, because I don't want to throw you under the bus.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I can enjoy leftovers once they are reheated or reused. I have a hard time taking them out of the refrigerator with, like, sometimes, like, a layer of fat on there or the smell of it. Sometimes that turns me off. But once I get past that and I'm creative with reheating it or reusing it, I'm totally good with it.
So that brings to the question is, Rich, at what point do we are concerned where leftovers wouldn't be good? Like, is there any food items we shouldn't be recycling?
No, I mean, I think most leftovers will be good for probably, you know, 3, maybe 4 days after Thanksgiving, you know, through the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. You always want to make sure that you keep all your leftovers wrapped, either with plastic wrap or foil or in Tupperware containers or something, because anything that sits out, you know, in the refrigerator unwrapped is actually kind of going to get that, you know, you're talking about almost refrigerator taste. You know, there's air circulating, and you're kind of losing the aromas and the flavors of anything that's uncovered. So, yeah, definitely want to make sure that any leftovers you have, to make sure they last through the weekend, wrap them tightly and keep them in your fridge. And that way, they'll stay nice and food safe. You can always know, say, you know, you get that little fat layer or whatever that you don't want to, that you think is kind of gross or you don't want to deal with. Since it's in the fridge, it's very easy to just kind of scrape that off with a spoon or a spatula or whatever and discard that. Then you're actually taking some of the fat that was already in the item out, so it then becomes a little healthier as well.
See, babe, there's hope for us.
Yes.
Or you.
Anything mac and cheese with breading fried sounds good to me, so I think I'm sold.
You know, if you had sweet potatoes, maybe those sweet potato pancakes would sound good. I don't like sweet potato, but the sweet potato pancakes, like the pumpkin pancakes, sound very delicious.
Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, you can also maybe take, you know, if you have a leftover can of pumpkin, or maybe you actually have a pumpkin pie that was happy to eat. You know, say you take that mixture and mix it right into a pancake batter. You can actually mix it into a waffle batter. You know, throw it in some a waffle, you know, iron. You can make some, you know, some interesting ways to kind of make things for breakfast the following day. So maybe take some of those desserts or, you know, things like that. You know, you could take make the pumpkin, whatever, pancakes or waffles you want. Maybe melt down that cranberry sauce that comes inside the little can with the ridges on the side. You throw that in a pan with a little bit of water. It'll melt down. Then all of a sudden you have, like, a cranberry syrup to go on top of your pumpkin pancakes.
Chef, you work for a technology company in Hampton Creek to bring healthier, more affordable, more sustainable, delicious food products to everyone and everywhere. Where can we get these tips you're giving us here?
So the stuff you can get, you can get all the stuff that we have available at certain grocery stores, Whole Foods and things like that has it. But, you know, yeah, we're definitely about kind of creating good food for everybody. You know, we're focused mainly on sustainability and health, like you're saying, and there's no reason to make something that's super good for you and very sustainable if it costs a ton of money and, you know, the 99% of the world can't afford it. So, you know, we want to make sure that everything we make is, you know, good for everybody and afforded by everybody.
And, Rich, I mean, for those who live locally, you used to be over at Modo in Chicago, correct?
I was, yeah. I was there for 7 years. So my final couple years there, I ran it as the exec chef and maintained our one Michelin star rating, which is really cool.
And that restaurant's known for phenomenal futuristic foods. You could see it on your shows on Discovery Channel and many of, like, the cooking shows. You know, do you bring any of that to your new venture?
I do. My job within the company right now is I go into the field and I do demos or speaking engagements and really kind of a brand ambassador. I kind of let everyone know who we are, what we're doing, and stuff like that. So I think it's a great challenge to take something that's, you know, like a pre-made dressing or mayo or a cookie or something and able to transform it using my skills that I learned at Modo into something new and delicious. Simple by, you know, making, like, taking cookies, pureeing it with some milk and using liquid nitrogen to make an ice cream, you know, for an ice cream sandwich. Essentially, you make a chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich by making more chocolate chip cookies into the ice cream itself. So, yeah, you know, kind of taking that idea of having all the knowledge I learned from Modo, I definitely incorporate in the field what I'm doing now.
Sharon, did you hear that? Do we have any liquid nitrogen in the garage? Can you go check?
Yeah, this sounds pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, we used to go eat at Moto all the time. I love the food there.
Thank you.
And so can anybody just go get liquid nitrogen? Is that something we can do?
It's something, though, I think there's certain companies that will, like, rent it to you. The nitrogen itself isn't the expensive part. It's actually the door that holds it because it's, like, the special container that's vacuum sealed. So, like, you actually don't need a license. You don't need anything like that to actually get liquid nitrogen. It just actually is finding a company that will rent it out or whatever in a small enough quantity.
Fascinating.
But, yes, if you want, you know, for parties, whatever, you could, you know, technically find a place and kind of use Google and see if there's any place in the area that will actually be able to rent you some nitro.
Have you heard of any desserts that you can make with leftovers besides the cranberry sauce and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's another one where you could take, again, kind of the pumpkin pie that's already formed and already cooked. Something you could do very easily if you have, people might have some of the whipped cream that normally goes on top. You can actually make like a pumpkin mousse. So just kind of take, probably like maybe a 3-to-1 ratio of whipped cream to pumpkin pie filling. Kind of mix those two together. Then you have a much lighter version of a dense pumpkin pie. That's not something that kind of completely transforming it. But that could be a good component that you could then take kind of whatever leftover stuff you have, whether it be kind of an extra crust or maybe there's some candy nuts from a platter that was sitting out or something like that. You could definitely take bits and pieces there to kind of, I guess I hate the term used, but like deconstruct a pumpkin pie.
I love you're speaking my language, Rich, because I like the inside of the pie itself. Like I like the crust.
That's the best part. People don't eat the pumpkin pie for the crust. So if you can just kind of take the good part out, and just focus on that, why not?
And this is a great topic because we need to show children that you're not supposed to be throwing food away. So this way they see it from early on. That, you have to learn how to be creative and use your resources and your food that's left over as well.
I actually have a pumpkin pie in the refrigerator. I have more than half of it.
There you go, Frank.
I'm going to do something really cool with it before Frank gets home this afternoon.
If you could, Cher, I will, not that I can love you any more than I already do, but I would.
You definitely inspired me. Like, there are definitely, there's ways to use food in a different capacity that can still taste good without wasting it. And I think you just have to give it a little bit of thought, and it's not delicious.
See, Chef, what you did for me already, you changed my life. You changed my world. Awesome. That's fantastic. You took a woman who didn't believe in leftovers, and you made her a believer. That's important.
If you could change one person at a time to use leftovers, why not?
Exactly. Well, that's awesome, Chef. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck with the new venture. Where can people find more information about you right now?
You can find more information on me. My Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff, personal social media. But for more information on Hampton Creek, you just Google us at hamptoncreek.com. Kind of new things that are coming out. We got some big things in the works, and hopefully we can change the world.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it. Have a good holiday if we don't talk to you before that.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much.
And thank you for making us hungry again.
Yeah, I'm starving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye.
You have a great day.
It is 11:48 on this Black Friday. Frank Fontana, David Miranda here for Bill and Wendy.
Who are out shopping their little arses off somewhere, I think.
I think the most important thing, aside from trying to create some new dishes with the leftovers,
yeah,
I think is protecting your fridge, like sealing everything. He mentioned something very, very good, our chef, because then it's going to have that refrigerator taste, so you must put it in supper, seal it very nice.
Yeah, my wife, Sherry Fontana, is joining me, co-host of Downtown Shabby, Dave Miranda here. And Sherry, is this one of your issues why you won't use leftovers, because you hate the way the fridge smells?
Maybe like something that had onion or garlic, maybe everything else will taste like onion or garlic. Sometimes any dishes that have tomato, they can, I've noticed that it tastes very different when something...
Cher, what do you think about that?
I think there's nothing better than the fresh smell of cooking. And sometimes, just for me personally, all the different smells together, once it's cold, it just does bother me. But I think feeling it the right way and covering it can help, for
sure. Like things like whole melons, the fridge can cut the number of antioxidants down in half. So it develops a little bit of a smell, apparently. Obviously, we all know onions do, right?
Ew, yeah, the onions. It's because onions need circulations to stay fresh. One thing is like cilantro or basil. it turns black very quickly as well. So, but one trick that my family uses is we put the cilantro, and I think it could probably, you could apply it for basil as well, is put it in a sealed container, a glass sealed container, and it'll last longer.
Really? And then I heard you could put like little plastic, or if you wrap plastic with rubber band around the end of banana bunch on the stem, it actually keeps it going for another like week or so without rotting.
What can we do for potatoes? Because I know with potatoes, they get sweeter if... when they're in the fridge, when you put them in the fridge, potatoes get a little sweeter. I wonder where, I mean, besides leaving them out.
I don't know.
You know what you can do if they do turn bad quickly? If you have a really bad headache, you can cut the potatoes into round pieces and put them on your head wrapped in a scarf, and it gets rid of a headache.
But where did you learn that there, sweetheart?
What? Potatoes?
My grandmother, my Sicilian grandmother, what she's talking about is an old Sicilian trick that my grandma used to use to get rid of headaches. So as the potatoes were getting bad before they got rotten and we weren't going to use them, if we had a headache or wanted to remedy a fever, they would cut potato slices about a quarter inch thick, they being my mother and grandmother. And let's say you take three of them across your forehead, then take a bandana and tie it, you know, fairly taut. Mm-hmm. And literally within an hour, your fever goes down.
My family uses the bandana. I know when you have a fever, you put alcohol on your belly button and you keep it warm.
Never heard of that.
That's what my family does as well. So many. We need a show on remedies.
Right, cultural remedies.
I'm like the potion queen. I have tons of potions and oils and remedies for things. And let me tell you, they do work.
Yeah, I think part of it's believing that it does work.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got to have that faith that it does work. She does put oils on our kids, like aromatherapy type of stuff, and healing oils. And it does work. My kids rarely get sick, and when they do, it doesn't last as long as most kids get sick.
You're building up their immune system then.
Through oils. I don't know. It's magic. Hey, let's switch gears here a little bit on topic for our show. Home decorating ideas that may be trendy or not. And...
that is totally your and Sherry's ballpark right there.
Yeah, this comes from an article from Amanda Bell off of the Angie's List. And let's start with the first one, and we can all chime in on this. White and gray walls, trendy or not trendy? What say you, Sherry Fontana?
Trendy.
White and gray walls.
Mm-hmm. Dave, what say you?
Well, it depends what you have on it, because I don't know if you've seen on our seventh floor when they took away all the pictures and it was just like beige walls. Yeah. It looked like an asylum. It looked kind of crazy. And when they put the pictures back up, it made a difference. So I guess I mean, I'm not an interior designer, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, gray, in my opinion, white and grays are always the, you know, gray is the new neutral. Where you're talking about beige used to be the new neutral, now gray is the new neutral. I think that it's here to stay. So I say it's not trendy. I say it's going to be a new classic. The next one is formal living rooms, trendy or not? And folks, you can play the game too. 312-981-7200. Give us a text or a call. Trendy or not is what we're playing. Formal living rooms. Sherry, what say you?
Not trendy. Formal living room.
Not trendy.
They're not trendy.
Okay, so this article says more homeowners are opting to replace formal sitting rooms with multi-purpose rooms instead, like home offices, etc. Dave, trendy or not?
I would say it is not. I think it should be a multi-use. And actually, December 11th in the Frank Fontana Show, we have somebody that helps us out with this type of stuff, make a living room into multiple rooms.
Got it. Brush-nickeled... what's that, Cher?
Today's living, people are not using formal living rooms anymore, I feel like, because a lot of times people are not sitting down for dinner as much as they used to.
Yeah, so I agree.
That concept has gone out the window, therefore they're using the formal dining room for something else.
Yeah, because especially the millennials' homes or apartments or dorms, whatever, I mean, you have to use them for various things, to lounge, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hit our next topic here. And folks, feel free to chime in. We're getting some texts come in. 312-981-7200. Brush nickel fixtures, trendy or not?
Brush nickel fixture.
Like your knobs, your pulls, your handles, all brush nickel.
I'm more vintagey, so I would say trendy.
Trendy. Sherry, what do you say you?
I would say that's not trendy.
All right. This article states, while Chrome finishes remain popular for bathroom fixtures elsewhere around the house and in the home, accessories like gold and metallic finishes, along with brass ahead of brushed nickel, and oil runs bronze. So it's become the more trend, but what this is saying is overall that gold and antique brass are still prominent fixtures, probably from the early 60s and 70s, that people just haven't changed out their homes. But you're definitely seeing in new homes the trend is brushed nickel. And oil rub bronze is certainly strong. So I say it's I'd say trendy and maybe needs to go.
I if it's too much of it, I think it'll look like a church as well. I mean, too much of it as well.
Yes. Okay. Natural elements. Is this a trend or not a trend?
I don't think it's trendy. I think this has been around for a long time. I think it comes and goes. But natural elements, I think, can be amazing in a home. It depends on the space.
Dave, what about you?
I plead the fifth. I don't know.
You're just bowing out of that one, huh?
Yeah.
I like it. If it is a trend, good, because I think it should stay. I think anytime you can incorporate natural elements into a home design, it grounds you more. It gives you that nature feel. And I think anytime you connect with nature, you're more grounded as a person. So I'm all about it.
And you know what? And if you like it, might as well just put it up. You know, I mean, as long as it's your personality, it's your essence.
Yeah.
Might as well just use it.
I mean, wood has always been a part of design in many shapes and forms, from your cabinetry to your tables. You know, it's just now the look of it is being more organic. And you know, so keep that in mind. It's always been there. But now it's changed a little bit, to be more raw edge kind of look. And finally, granite. Trend or not? Are we seeing the end of it?
I think it's, again, granite can be timeless, but today, in today's day, it's not trendy. Everyone's going with more of the silestone or cement look. So as of right now, I'd say it's not on trend.
All right. Well, that completes our list.